We are glad to make all of our JCast Network podcasts free for our listeners. However, they are not free to produce and host. Please consider making a donation to JCast Network to help support our work by visiting jcastnetwork.org/donate. Thanks for your support. המקלט חורד שדרן שותק ואין קליטה, אין שום קליטה. נו כבר תגביר, המחט בתקליט יושב הביט על הבריטה, אין שום שריטה. זה אנלוגי דיגיטל קלאסי מתובן
אייל. Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I am your host, Herschel Finn. We've got a wonderful show for you today. Sit back, relax, or if you're driving, keep both hands on the wheel and your eyes focused where they're supposed to be focused. In this half hour of the show, we will be featuring a rebroadcast with Ferndale Superintendent of Schools, Dania Bazzi, and we're going to be talking about Moment of Reflection as it was instituted in the city of Ferndale, and hopefully the far-reaching effects thereof. The second half of the hour, we'll talk a little bit about the portion of the week, which is Yisro, to be found in chapter 18 of the book of Exodus. We've got the giving of the Torah in this week's portion. We've got a wonderful music scattered out throughout the show, a terrific Hasidic story. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. An Israeli border police officer was shot and wounded in an attack on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. 14 Israeli soldiers were injured in an early morning car ramming attack in the center of Jerusalem. An Israeli soldier was injured in a drive-by shooting in the West Bank. Two Palestinian Authority police officers were killed in Jenin after clashes erupted during an Israeli army's demolition of the home of a Palestinian terrorist. A 17-year-old Palestinian was shot and killed by Israeli troops as he threw a firebomb at them in Hebron. In other news, airstrikes allegedly carried out by Israel in Syria killed 23 people. Israel has not commented on the report. Israel stopped sending cement into Gaza and cut 500 work permits into Israel in response to the continued rocket and firebomb attacks from Gaza into southern Israel. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was in Uganda this week to work on normalizing relations between the two countries. Uganda's prime minister would like to open an embassy in Jerusalem. While in Uganda, Netanyahu secretly met with Sudanese officials, worst kept secret if I'm telling you on the news, and discussed starting a framework for ties between those two countries. There were only 21 hate crimes against Jews in New York City in January, down from 25 in January of 2019. That's, you know, good? No. And finally, the Kinneret, Israel's largest reservoir, rose 3 inches this week and now stands at just over 3 feet of being full. And that's the news.
Personal information cannot and will not be shared with any agency. And your federal tax dollars will come back to Michigan. Don't let rumors, misunderstandings, and misinformation prevent you from filling out the census this spring. It's only 9 questions and takes about 10 minutes, so count everyone in your home. When everyone counts, everyone wins. To learn more, visit myvoicecounts.org. That's myvoicecounts.org.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000, or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start. Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. We have on the line Ferndale Public Schools Superintendent Dr. Dania Bazzi. And we're going to be talking about a moment of reflection. And how are you today, Doctor?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Good. Thank God. Thank you for taking out some of your busy scheduled day and coming and talking about this. So Ferndale seems to be like cutting edge. I've been, we're on your newsletter and we get it. And we seem that Ferndale seems to be like wanting to be like out there ahead of everybody else. Would you say that's a fair assessment, Dr. Dania?
Yes, I think what sets Ferndale Public Schools apart is really emphasizing the social emotional learning and integrating that into the school day. So it's not an add-on. It's not something we just do when we remember. It's something that's embedded in our students' education from preschool all the way through till graduation.
Okay. So now we're going to talk now personally. I came to you last year and suggested that Ferndale Schools incorporate something which we were going to call a moment of silence. And the Board of Education didn't like that. But then we came back this year and we called it a moment of reflection. So how is a moment of reflection different than a moment of silence, Dr. Bazzi? Can I call you Dania?
Yeah. I think there was some, we were trying to understand what the purpose of the moment of reflection is. Obviously, we're a public school entity, and we value and respect all the different religions that our students practice within the school day. There's always, within our school, there's always constitutionally protected prayer time. But there's a difference of if the student is leading it or if staff, and there's certain laws that obviously we have to abide by. Being a public school entity. So to me, when you came to me with that, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, you wanted students to have time to kind of center their thoughts and center, all of their, center their time and be able to have a moment to be reflective and really let the student decide that. Now, obviously, we give them guiding things, but whether it's personal, whether it's school-related, whether it's related to values, whether it's related to religion, students would have that time that would be dedicated within the school day.
Okay. So tell us about it. Walk us through this. How technically is this moment of reflection done in the course of the day, Daniel Brazzi?
So basically, every student, whether it be at the elementary level, middle, or high school level, have something that we call Impact Hour, Impact 30, which is designed around our social-emotional curriculum. So, for example, at Ferndale Middle School, all students for 30 minutes a day focus on essential learning standards around social-emotional curriculum. Easily put, how to deal with conflict, how to be organized, how to react when things don't always go our way, understanding the brain and how it develops and that how that impacts our thinking and our frustration and our happiness and our mood. So moment of reflection is integrated into that time, and every teacher has, norms centered around that where students are given time to kind of, I use the word meditate, but it's not really meditation, but it allows the student to have that time to themselves within their own mental space.
Okay, understood. Okay, so you've been superintendent of schools in Ferndale for how long?
This is my third year. Okay. As the superintendent of Ferndale Public Schools.
Okay. Did you institute this social hour, or was that already in part of the curriculum?
That was already in place, yes.
Okay. So now
we continue to develop it and I believe it was implemented either the year I started or the year before. So we continue to modify it and improve upon it each year. Just recently in June, we were recognized, our school district was recognized, our superintendent of curriculum and instruction, Dina Rocholo, as well as the district, were honored at the Model Schools Conference in Washington, D.C. as an innovative district, specifically around the work of social-emotional curriculum. Because a lot of times families think, well, those are soft skills, right? I need my students to know chemistry and physics and calculus. But as a former math teacher, I can tell you no one has ever asked me, what's the quadratic formula, right? They ask me, can I work with different people who have different views? Can I be patient? Can I be organized? Am I a critical thinker? Can I problem solve? Those are the type of skills that our students are going to need once they leave, you know, our schools and move on to the collegiate level or the career level. So those are, you know, those are skills that are essential. They're not really soft skills as people like to deem them.
Okay, you're actually segueing into my next question is that, so as a parent, so I want my kid to get the absolute best education I possibly can. I was actually an elementary school teacher for about 5 years and decided that I appreciate what elementary school teachers do because they can do it and I couldn't. And at a parent-teachers conference, so one of the parents was complaining about the way that I taught, which was probably not surprising because I really didn't belong in a classroom. But anyway, that's the side of it. What came out from the deal is that a parent has an obligation to find the absolute best program, the best education environment for a student, with the goal being is that at the end of it all, they're educated. So we have the reading, writing, arithmetic, etc., which are, you know, they call it the core. Now we have STEM or STERN, whatever it is, STEAM, all of these things, which there's a tremendous emphasis on those, which is coming from Washington. We hear about this all the time. You're taking out a chunk of time from the day from those core things. How are the parents reacting to that? And how can we justify taking away time from, quote unquote, learning?
Oh, yeah. And I understand that. I think the values and mission of Ferndale Public Schools is centered around that work. I think that we, through our education of our programming, have sought the buy-in of our community to do that. I also say, though, we still have a normal six-period day. So students still have six blocks at 52 minutes along with the 30 minutes for impact hour. So it resulted in just maximizing the time that we have our students, but they still have all of those same experiences. But instead of having like a homeroom type of class, we're just maximizing those minutes within the school day. Also, you know, within Ferndale Public Schools, we're really trying hard to create a systems of schools rather than one school system, because to meet the individual needs of learners, we can't have a one-size-fits-all model, right? We have some students who are going to be interested in the arts, some who are interested in the science, some who are interested in career and technical education. We really want to be able to provide opportunities for students that fit them rather than to say everyone's going through this industrial model of education where the output is exactly the same, when we know we all have different interests and our students are not all the same. You know, they have different goals, different life passions, and our job is to help them pursue those. So this isn't one or the other. We don't think it's either academic or social emotional learning. It's both, right? It's not an either or. Both of them are equally important, and that's why we feel it's so important to include that within the school day, because we're trying to ensure that we have students who are wonderful human beings when they leave Ferndale Public Schools, and that's part of the education as well.
Okay, understood. That's very clever. Our guest today is Dr. Danya Bazzi, who is the superintendent of schools at Ferndale Public Schools. We're talking about a moment of reflection. So what's now then is the goal of your school system? You get a kid when he's 5 years old or 4 years old. They leave when they're 17 or 18. What is a successful graduate then in your mind, Dr. Bazzi?
I think a successful graduate is somebody who can be a productive member of society and pursue their life's passion. So my hope is that we provide the students with the education, the experience, the relationships that allow them to go out into the world and achieve exactly what it is they want to. You know, I hope that they remember that we taught them about compassion. We taught them about grit. We taught them about perseverance. We taught them about being the best that they can be. So I really hope that when they leave here, students can say, you know, Ferndale Public Schools prepared me for my next chapter in life, and that I have fond memories and relationships that and experiences that will last a lifetime, that they'll remember us one day when they're 80 years old, you know, sitting on the porch, they're going to say, do you remember that time when we were in school? Because life is really about relationships and achieving the goals that we set for ourselves.
Okay. People, of course, they're in firmly in their mind right now is the recent events in California. There's another school shooting. And I was actually shocked because I was listening to the news and the reporter said, this is the 49th school shooting. And then the person paused for whatever reason he said. And I thought he was going to say, since Columbine. And he said, since the beginning of the year. I was shocked. I almost had to stop and pull over for a second. What's going through your mind and the mind of the Ferndale school people when things like that happen?
You know, our condolences and our hearts go out to those families in school and communities affected by that. Obviously, student safety is one of our number one priorities. And, you know, it's unfortunate. It really is. It speaks to kind of the mental health crisis that's taking place and that we got to continue to be proactive and provide support for students who, you know, who react this way.
Mm-hmm. Understood. Do you feel that this social hour will have any benefit in, say, combating things like school shootings, Dr. Danya Bazzi?
I would hope so. You know, I hope that this work will reduce that likelihood of that, you know, of that occurrence. That's definitely, you know, we want students to be able to have a space and to have techniques to relieve that type of stress or, you know, despair that they're experiencing. So, yes, of course, that's definitely a hope.
Okay. I hope I'm not putting you on the spot with this next question, but interviewers put people on the spot. Do you have any hard evidence, any documented statistics since this program was instituted that there has been an improvement in the interaction, the interpersonal levels among students, that there's less fighting, there's less conflicts, there's less complaining, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, certainly. I would say over the past 3 years that we've been monitoring our discipline referral data, and we've definitely seen a decrease in that over time. Also, we put out yearly parent and student perception surveys that speak to this curriculum. So certainly we've gotten good feedback in terms of how we can improve things, but, you know, the overall buy-in is there.
Okay. Now, I don't have too many more questions, so I don't want to keep you too long. But so now, when it comes time in the day, what time is this hour? It's like in the middle of the day, or is it during when I was a kid? Homeroom was at the very beginning of the day. When is it that we were engaged in these social endeavors?
About in the middle of the day.
Middle of the day.
For secondary.
Okay.
For elementary, it's the morning meeting, so it's at the at the start of the day.
Yeah, if it's secondary, it makes a big difference if it's before lunch or after lunch. I know that. So, what is it that students are actually doing for that moment? What is the teacher guiding them with that they should be doing with that moment? Because people could just sit there for a moment and think about nothing, and that's not going to be very productive.
No, there's prompts and things like this. The curriculum department has developed an extensive curriculum that focuses on the core competencies from CASEL, which is kind of the leading edge on social-emotional curriculum. So, of course, teachers are given materials, PowerPoints, kind of a mapping guide for the course throughout the school year by grade level, specific to each grade level. So that's all laid out. In terms of the moment of reflection, you know, again, the teacher has prompts, whether it's, you know, think about a difficult situation and how you can problem solve around it. You know, how do you feel and where would you place yourself on the mood meter today? What are things that you're thankful for? You know, so there's prompts that go along with that that the teacher will provide.
Okay, this is all very wonderful, and I'm glad it's, would you say a successful program, Dr. Danyabazi?
Absolutely. And I think that's shown in that we've had a number of schools. I can't even count to you how many schools have came out to visit us to observe this work. We have some folks coming from Kalamazoo County on Monday to again see this in action, as well as the Model Schools Conference Award, as well as our data shows us that this is really great work. Of course, we're always trying to do better, but certainly on the right path.
Okay, so there's a concept in marketing called branding, is when a person comes up with a successful program, now they want to like market and get other people to do it. Sometimes it's for money, sometimes it's just for the greater good, like in this case. Do you see this Ferndale program being marketed around to schools around the county, the state, the country, so that it can be copied and reproduced?
Yes, I would say so. The state of Michigan's already reached out to, again, our assistant superintendent of curriculum, Dina Roshelo, to work on creating standards that are aligned to social-emotional curriculum. Also, we're a public school entity, and we like you said, we do things for the greater good. So a number of schools have asked us for our materials or curriculum, you know, and we've provided those, of course, free of charge.
How would you feel? Right now in the state of Michigan, this is a voluntary program. If you want to do it, you could do it. And if you don't want to do it, you don't have to. There are states around the union where such a program is mandatory and it's mandated by the state. Would you be more or less in favor if every school district had to do this, Dr. Danyabazi, or if they did it on their own?
I think each, you know, I do believe in to some extent local control. So I think that each school district has to design things that fit the needs of their students. So again, I like parameters, but I do think it's important that schools work together to find out the right balance and the right learning plan so that it's successful and not something that might be specifically mandated, prescribed, because again, that gets us to the one size fits all. What students need in Birmingham is different than what students need in Ferndale, which is different than what students need in Oak Park. So I would hope that there would be trust to allow us to do that work and make sure that we're meeting the needs of our community.
Okay, you raise an interesting point. I'm going to go off topic and kind of like just go on a tangent. There is a state mandate in Michigan that every school district has to provide a certain amount of units during the student's time in school from K to 12 to learn about the Holocaust. That seems to be like one size fits all. You have to cover these topics. How's that going over in Ferndale?
Oh, it's going great. That's always been a topic prior to the mandate that we've always integrated into our curriculum. It's when you have substantial historical events that will impact generations till the end of time, those are things that have to be integrated into the curriculum. So those have always been going great and always been a part of what we do. The mandate didn't really change anything for us because again, it's something that was always included within our learning plan within Ferndale Public Schools.
Okay, terrific. And I think we'll have to, one more question we'll have to let you go on this is, how do you envision expanding this program of the Moment of Reflection, or making it better, or as students change, as we've gone from Generation Y to Millennials and Generation Zs, and now whatever the next one is going to be called, it's going to be on the next. If we were calling this one Generation Z, the next one's On Beyond Zebra. So how do you envision any type of improvements or changes coming up with this program, the Moment of
Reflection? I think it's so important that we always get student perspectives on curricular implementation plans. So, for example, we have a social-emotional committee that's comprised of, you know, teachers, administrators, as well as students. And they meet regularly to make those updates and to take student feedback. So our hope is that this is all continuously improved every year. It's not something that will stay static. It will be something that will always be evaluated and adjusted based on the needs of the students we serve. So that committee is ongoing. It's not, there's not really a finish point. Now, the work might look different once implementation has occurred, which it has, but the committee still meets regularly to make those adjustments.
Okay, that's wonderful. That's going to do it for us. Our guest today has been Ferndale Superintendent of Public Schools, Dr. Dania Bazzi, and we've been talking about A Moment of Reflection. We want to thank you so much for taking out some of your time and enlightening us and letting us know. And hopefully this message will go out and somebody else will be listening and say, well, I want that in my school too.
Thank you, Rabbi. I appreciate it.
Okay, take care. We're going to take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. Up next, for your listening pleasure, this is Natanael and Cerulli. They've been making a lot of stuff lately. I've been seeing a lot of stuff coming through my inbox. And this is a pretty cute piece. It's called Chamutz Matuk, means sweet and sour.
Bye.
assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Herschel Finman, here you are listening to the Jewish Hour. I got to tell you something about the listeners of the Jewish Hour. Some of these people, and you know who you are really dedicated listeners. So people who have been listening anytime in like regularity in the last 25 years know that the middle song that I play, I try to play three songs fully through all the way, and then some other songs, just little pieces here and there. But the middle song is generally a song which I do for klezmer. Sometimes I try to like round the corner, and I'll just play like a song in Yiddish and say, well, it's Yiddish klezmer. It's kind of like, you know, hello. But in the last couple of weeks, I've been playing like rounded corner stuff, and I did klezmer fusion stuff, which sounded more like bossa nova than a klezmer. It had like klezmer progressions, but it was really a bossa nova. Somebody called me on it this week and said, Rabbi, are you going to play klezmer this week? So, thank you for calling. Up next, for your klezmer enjoyment, this is Andy Statman, the Hasidic Dance.
census is confidential. Personal information cannot and will not be shared with any agency. And your federal tax dollars will come back to Michigan. Don't let rumors, misunderstandings, and misinformation prevent you from filling out the census this spring. It's only 9 questions and takes about 10 minutes, so count everyone in your home. When everyone counts, everyone wins. To learn more, visit myvoicecounts.org. That's MIVoiceCounts.org.
Herschel Finman, here you are listening to the Jewish Hour. Yes, the Jewish Hour is part of targeted advertising, encouraging people to be counted during the census. There is no reason to be paranoid. No salesman will call. And it is really important that people fill out the census. We're going to talk to somebody about that middle of March and really how important it is. But we're talking about fixing potholes and kids getting into school and lots of other stuff. Maybe even an additional congressional district, maybe, if enough people move back to Michigan since 2010. It's really important. I cannot stress it and say it enough. Speaking of enough, this is Levi Robbins. We haven't heard from him in quite a while. This song is No Other, when it's talking about his relationship between him and Hashem, but him and God. Let's listen. We all know there's an opiate epidemic, but Advanced Rapid Detox has a solution for people addicted to pain pills, heroin, and dependent on Suboxone and Methadone. Advanced Rapid Detox performs detox under sedation in the hospital. Patients sleep through withdrawals and wake up without cravings.
Dr. Julia Aronoff and the staff at Advanced Rapid Detox help people restore their lives and the lives of their families. Addiction affects everyone, even in the Jewish community, and Advanced Rapid Detox is there to help. Call 800-603-1813. That's 800-603-1813, or visit them online at www.advancedrapiddetox.com. Hershelvin, here you are listening to the Jewish Hour. This week is the portion of Yisro. It is found in the book of Exodus, chapter 18 and following. This is like, it doesn't get any more Bible than this. This story has the giving of the Torah, also known as the revelation of the Pentecost, for those people who translate it that way, which Pentecost means the five books of Moses. The Jews were at Mount Sinai. They got the Torah, the biggest revelation of God ever. Let's talk about Sinai. An interesting statement, which is brought in the Mishnah, Pirkei Avos, Ethics of Our Fathers, that starts out, the very first paragraph starts, Moshe Kibel Torah Mesinai. Moses received the Torah from Sinai, Umaser Yehoshua, and he gave it over to Joshua, and Joshua gave it over to the elders, and the elders gave it over to the prophets, and the prophets gave it over to the men of the great assembly. This is a very perplexing statement. What does it mean Moses received the Torah from Sinai? Moses didn't receive the Torah from Sinai. Moses received the Torah from God. So why is it that the redactor of the Mishnah just didn't say Moses received the Torah from God? Or better, since the rest of the Mishnah, the rest of that paragraph says Moses gave it to Joshua, Joshua gave it to the elders gave it to the prophets gave it over to the men of the great assembly, it should start, God gave the Torah to Moses. And that would be, stylistically equivalent, just keeping things the way they're supposed to be. What was Sinai that is mentioned over here? Sinai was a mountain, and it says in the Medrash that when God announced, I'm giving the Torah on a mountain, so all the mountains started lobbying, give it on me. Mount Everest said, I'm the biggest mountain, and Mount Moriah, the Temple Mount, said, I'm the most important mountain because, Adam was created on me, and Noah and Abraham and Jacob all did their sacrificing things on me. I'm the most important. Sinai, little tiny insignificant mountain in the middle of the Sinai desert, just didn't say anything. Figured, listen, who am I to compare with those guys? Those guys are big league. I'm a bush mountain. And that's a pun because the word Sinai means bush. God said, I like you, Sinai, because you're humble. And I want the Torah to be given in a state of humility. So therefore, that's why the redactor of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda, said that Moses received the Torah. Because in order to receive something, you have to nullify your will to the one giving it to you. If you don't want it, you're not going to take it. There has to be a certain sense of self-abnegation. And that was what was being conveyed, that it wasn't just that the Almighty was just throwing this on us. How many times have you gotten a gift you didn't want? It's like thinking, well, who can I re-gift this to? Moses had to be a recipient of the Torah and therefore needed to be humble. So you could ask a good question. Why was it given on a mountain? A mountain is a big thing in the middle of the way. God the Almighty wanted to show humility, have the Torah given in a valley. Oh, there's no valleys in the Sinai desert. God could have come up with a valley. Between you and me, put a mountain there. He could have put a valley there too, from the 6 days of creation. That's not a question. So why not a valley? So it's very simple. Because this answers the next question of why is it that it says Moses gave the Torah to Joshua, and not Joshua received the Torah from Moses, as Moses received it from Sinai. When we're talking about disseminating the Torah now, we're talking about standing up for Jewish ideals. We're talking about public statements of our Judaism. At that point, it's really counterproductive to have humility. And at that point, a person has to stand up and say, I'm doing this. If this person is a teacher, if this person is someone walking in the street, they shouldn't be embarrassed if they have a yarmulke on their head, or they shouldn't be embarrassed to tell somebody, I cannot meet you at that such and such restaurant because it's not kosher. But there is this other restaurant, which happens to be very good. There happens to be someone from out of town this week, I ran into him, and he was someone from his home place said, oh, you're going to Detroit? You have to go to this restaurant. I'm not going to mention this restaurant because they don't want to advertise on my show. I'm not going to give them free advertising. Sorry. But he said, it's one of the best meals he ever had. So it's here. There's no reason for a person to be embarrassed about their Judaism. On the contrary, we have to be uplifted. And how much? Not a whole lot. Not in Everest. On Mount Sinai. A little bit. For the most part, we should be exercise humility and relating to other people in a humble way. The Hatzena Lechet, to go modestly. But when it comes to our ideals, we need to be fierce. We need to be mountains. We are going to take a quick commercial break and be right back with the wonderful Hasidic story that I'm about to tell. Don't go away. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Spex Howard. The Spex Howard School of Media Arts is proud to have been a sponsor of The Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding comes from its sponsors, listeners like you help keep The Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to The Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. That's 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Your help is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Would you like to get in touch with me? Easiest, bestest way? Right on the website, rabbifinman.com. Go to the homepage. It says there, contact us. I hate it. I did it. It happens to me every time I go to a website and I have to go like through 3-4 pages to get to the contact link. I'm thinking, why can't they just be like rabbifinman.com? It's right there, plain and right in front of your face. Because I found that about maybe half, maybe a little less of the people that go to rabbifinman.com are coming because they want to contact me. So make it easy on people, please, webmasters, if you're listening out there. What else is on rabbifinman.com? Archived editions of the show, archived editions of classes, and the ways in which we present the Torah and Judaism in an interesting and exciting and fun way, and hopefully educational too, and the very, 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 very important donations page. We're into February. We need to pay for February. So go to the donations page and make your donation. We're almost, it's 25 years. Comes next month, March 4th is our anniversary, 25 years on the air. Whoa! We've only been able to do it because people like you have been helping. So do that right now. Don't like internet giving? Okay, understood. Drop your donation in an envelope of whatever and send it to The Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. The following story is purported by one of the protagonists. Back in 1947, World War II is over. European Jewry is in upheaval, being shuffled around all over the continent. The Russians made an agreement with the Poles that anybody holding a Polish passport would be allowed to leave Russia, because a lot of these people just were refugees and they just like stormed through and to get away from the ensuing onslaught of the Nazis, Yimach Shemo Zichron. And hundreds, if not thousands, of Russians
left Russia with falsified passports, and wound up first in Pucking in the displaced persons camp in Germany, and then the easiest place to get to was Paris. Now, in Paris, a lot of them didn't have what to do. So it happened that one day a telegram came from the previous Lubavitch Rebbe, Rabbi Joseph Schneerson, addressed to the leader of the community there, instructing Rabbis Yehuda Hain and Rabbi Chaim Schreiber to walk the streets of Paris. That was it. That was the whole thing. And the storyteller, whose name was Zalman Sidakevich, who later became one of the founding members of Kfar Chabad, a city of Lubavitchers in Israel, went with them just to see what was going to happen. He had nothing else to do. So they're walking. They have no idea where they're going. They're turning down a side street, going here, going there, just walking back and forth. It was a nice day. Suddenly, they hear from up in one of the apartment buildings, "Jewish rabbis, wait, don't move." Okay, they look up and there's a lady waving at them. And they say, okay, maybe this is the reason why we had to be here. A couple minutes go by. This lady had to, of course, walk down 5 flights of stairs. And she's like all out of breath. She said, "You must come with me. I have a grandson who's 12 years and change. He's going to need a bar mitzvah. And I need somebody to be able to teach him for his bar mitzvah. Do you know of anybody?" And they said, "Yeah, it just so happens that right around the corner, there's a synagogue. And the rabbi there is a very knowledgeable, very personable rabbi. Take your grandson there to learn for his bar mitzvah." So she thanked him profusely. Okay, and that's where the storyteller, Rabbi Zalman Sidakevich, ended the story. And he was telling the story once, and he passed away in 2015. So he was once telling this story, I think it was in 2012 in Kfar Chabad at a Verbrengen. And after he told this, a person jumped up who was listening. And his name was David Lesselnbaum. He is in charge of outreach to the French-speaking Jews in Tel Aviv. And he said, "Wait, 1947, that was the year of my bar mitzvah. What was the name of the synagogue, and who was the rabbi there?" And they told him, "I don't have the name of the rabbi, but it was the Rashi synagogue on the 5th arrondissement." And he said, "Do you remember the street where you met?" And she says, "Yeah, I quite remember. It was the 5th arrondissement. It was on 2nd Street between this one and this one. So that's where my grandmother lived." He said, this rabbi, David Lesselnbaum, who still lives in Tel Aviv, said, "That was me. I was that bar mitzvah bacher." Everybody, of course, was floored. Wow. That'll do it for us today. We hope we have a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope we have a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have a great week. And we hope to see you back again next week. Take care.
בלי גם בלי, דיים לקום, בלי ליפול, לידה שעוד כי לא בלי לשאול ולגדול, רק בלי ים, בלי ים, בלי ים, בלי ים, כן סתם, סתם, ים כחול, רגוע, חלק ומושלם, תן לי כוח, מרגיש לי מוגזם, כל הקשיים האלה, אתה לא רואה שבא לי רק ים, כל הזמן, בלי גם, 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 כל הזמן, לא מבין מה לי מוכן, מבורא עולם, נותן לי גם.